Hi, this is John. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, contact me directly for private one-on-one work, access written, audio, and video teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. May you realize true peace and happiness.
No words. When you stop like this and just sit for a while, it can take time to sort of have your battery recharge, to have the sort of busyness release off your mind, out of your muscles. It felt like we could have sat longer. Three or four weeks. It's really important to visit yourself occasionally, to check in. Especially if you've been checked out. Or tied up in a knot, stuck. When you sit still without forcing it, deeper energies start to move and begin to find pathways that they might not be able to find if you're caught in habit and habitual action, speaking, work, movement. We're so lucky to be able to stop once in a while. We don't realize that, actually, until we discover the value of inner peace, clarity, openness. We get so used to being contracted, we don't even know we're contracted. We get so used to being pressured, we don't even know we're pressured. We get used to being stressed, almost like we're in fight or flight, and we don't even know it. But when you listen without trying, you can hear the sound of the silence. You are the sound of the silence. You are the silence. And that is a realm where you, where the self, the personal self, is at least temporarily evaporated. And there's just this brightness or presence that's talked about so much these days. And yet it's no different than sunshine. It's the same thing. It's the essential light of our being, radiance of our being. And awakened is just when you're aware of it all the time, that's all. Doesn't mean that your hair grows back or all of a sudden you have $1 billion in your bank account, tax-free. All your problems have magically disappeared. In fact, people are aware of it and not really aware of it, actually. I've met people who've awakened who went, oh yeah, that. And then they went to see what was on television. They were awake, but, you know, it's like, whatever. You know. Somehow it wasn't important. I thought that was odd. I would think that if you tasted the truth, you would really long to deepen and discover that realm. But that's not necessarily true. I think when you realize that there's ultimately nothing else going to satisfy than a deepening into what you fundamentally are, then you show up on Monday night on 9th Street, you know, you have that deep commitment. It's not, language is so, I mean, even the way I say it isn't right. I realize every time I say something it's not right. So then I say it 10 different ways. It's not really you, your commitment. It's really the force. The force of the universe awakening through this temporary form called your body and your life. I like force. I liked it when George Lucas used it. I thought, yeah, that's it. Right on. And when it opens, it can feel like a profound force of nature, actually. Your job is simply to let it do what it's doing. Wait a minute. Your job is to let it do what it's doing. That means you don't have to do anything except let it do it. Are you letting it? That's the key. And you might say, well, I'm not. I don't know how I'm not. How do I find out how I'm not? That's why you're here. That's why you stop and tune in and become present, so that you can begin to notice what's resisting, what's holding on, what's trying to get something, what's trying to get away from something or get rid of something. All of the subtle struggles in the nervous system and in the mind and the body. And you bring awareness to them. You bring attention. Attention and awareness are the same thing, really. But you find out how to bring them. I talk about it all the time. You find out that there's a way to bring attention to what's happening that lets it continue to unfold. It lets it do it. So you learn how to give attention in a way that lets it do the unfolding. Rather than feeling like you're responsible for it not unfolding. That's a very subtle defense mechanism. We think we're being responsible and we're actually subtly holding it back. Did you get that? So, very helpful to notice how you, if you do, blame yourself, judge yourself, compare yourself, analyze yourself, measure yourself, all that stuff. You know, because they have all the lists now and the qualities, and you can go down and check off your criteria for enlightenment, see how you're doing. Not really. I think that word has been used enough. It needs to be retired. It's getting very old and moldy, encrusted with belief. So, there you are. See, the brightness doesn't need a word, doesn't need a label. All your sadness needs is awareness, is love, is compassion. Your sore muscles just need the soothing attention. And a tenderness of awareness. We bring our humanity, our deep, loving humanity to the process, and it's beautiful, rather than the sort of hardcore, rigid fundamentalism, dogmatic fundamentalism of restriction. Now, I was speaking on Saturday in Santa Cruz about that your body is an instrument. When I taught the Alexander Technique for decades in the performing arts community, you might have been singers are more aware of this because they know their body's their primary instrument for their singing. But, you know, if you're playing an instrument, you might think that you're playing the instrument, but the instrument's playing the instrument. Your primary instrument is your body, actually. But what I didn't get to talk about on Saturday was how to practice the instrument. And initially you learn sort of, you know, I played the violin, you learn your scales, you learn how to hold the thing. That's not so easy. And you kind of practice countless hours for years and years and years. Your scales and arpeggios and studies and blah, 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 all of it. And if you're really, really talented and gifted and whatever, eventually you might become, you know, successful at it. And I think the people that are virtuoso, you know, people who are extraordinary, they are so developed in their practice that they go beyond practice. They go into profound inspiration. And they're not even playing anymore. Just music is happening. Incredibly moving music is happening. And that's exactly what you're doing here. Just as I said that, my watch buzzed. I thought that must have been the right thing. So you develop patience and persistence and diligence, and eventually it becomes effortless. Eventually. And then you hear about it and it sounds like it should be effortless at the beginning. Because somebody who's talking about it, having been through some big change, whatever, talks about it that way. Haven't you heard that? But actually it can really require profound diligence of attention and willingness to practice mindfulness or whatever in your day so you can begin to find inner peace, even at work, even in situations that are, you know, stressful, that you can find equanimity even in there, and even in the middle of it. I'm not saying you're not going to be a human being and not have responses or reactions to things, but you won't stay stuck in them. They'll come and go like wind. Just blow through like a little wind. Then you're back here, right here, in the presence. Everything radiant. No thought about that. It's just what is. How can you let your thinking cease to dominate your attention? That's really the question. How can you let thinking be in the background? Practice. Put your attention on what you're seeing, what you're feeling, on your breath, rather than mind chatter. Meditation practice will teach you that. If you do it a certain way, of course. But that's really probably the biggest obstacle for most people. You know, obsessive thinking. What did Carlos Castaneda call it? Eternal dialogue. Instead of internal dialogue, eternal dialogue. I like that. Never-ending chatter. And then, you know, if it's not going on there, you can just turn this on, right? The phone. For those who are listening. What is he doing? I use it a lot too, of course. I can't live without it. Actually, when I leave the house and I don't have it, it's like I practically have a nervous breakdown. What if something happens? It wasn't that long ago that if you ran out of gas in the freeway, you just had to wait for somebody to help. Or you walked, you know, 10 miles. I've been chattering enough, I think. I don't know. It's good to feel the space. That's what's important, to really feel into the space, to become the energy of the space here. Just let it in. Merge with it. Dissolve into it. It's fun. It's a big relief to let go. Remember, letting go happens by itself. Just put what isn't letting go into the space that is letting go. That's all. I'm sure there might be some questions on that. So we're not going to have any questions tonight.
Wow. I feel very nervous in my body. A lot of energy. Mm-hmm.
Take your time. We have to get used to expanding. I mean, we literally expand in awareness. And there is a certain physiological adaption that does take place. Hopefully that doesn't happen too quickly. Much better when it's slower for the whole system to integrate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
See, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, now it is.
It's really, you know, it's hard to teach how to pay attention. I mean, the word sounds so mundane, like, oh, yeah, big deal. But it really is the point. I mean, once you get how, it's done. I mean, not done, but it does it. And that's the end of doing it. That's not the end of it doing it, but it's the end of you doing it. What is that?
It's fun.
I don't know where it's coming from.
I think someone's found over there.
Oh, okay. Sounds like it's over there. I mean, I don't know, I'm tripping or something. Oh, wow. I'll start coming to your satsangs now. Want to take over? I'm done. I'm tired. I need a break. We'll work something out. Just kidding. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm teasing you. Mm-hmm. See what I mean by transmutation? Mm-hmm. When you give attention to the mud, you know, that's how the lotus grows.
Yeah, there was like this whole band around my heart mm-hmm. during the sitting. Now I just feel my hands really vibrating and mm-hmm. it's very intense.
But it's open. That band is the opening happening.
Yeah.
We don't realize that the restriction is actually it's the opening happening.
Yeah.
We think of it as something to get rid of.
Right.
Wrong attitude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been having so much anxiety all weekend, and it's just, I think it's like this part of me that I've always been very good at ignoring. Mm-hmm. Well, not so good. That's why I'm here. but just this, just academic fear of mm-hmm. like not being able to do all that I want to do. Mm-hmm. And this exam is like, oh, it's so scary. I feel so scared all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've used other things like just stimulants and stuff to not to just get it done. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's not working. Coffee's not working. I'm exhausted all the time. Mm. And I'm just trying to take care of myself around this fear and not be so run by it, you know, and come to my work in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I want to. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, alignment is happening right now for you, this moment. All that you were describing as fear and anxiety is fundamentally energy. I think what it is ultimately is that we haven't learned how to handle infinite energy that we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like I've never learned how to handle this.
But you're letting it happen now more. Yeah. I mean, right here now, I mean.
Yeah.
Not most people, nobody has.
Yeah.
It's just different presentations for each individual and how that plays out.
Right.
That's all. But you're opening right now. Opening is happening. So all that, what you describe is actually fuel now. It's actually firing. It's actually making it happen, actually. We often have a very small, tiny perspective of ourselves. We don't realize how vast we are. It's not an idea or some ego trip, it's not what I'm talking about. I really mean energetically, and that's why people get terrified when they start opening, because it literally feels like it's infinite, and it is. It takes a while for it to get used to that. Mm-hmm. Usually there's a lot of fear getting close to it until you finally fully allow it, and then there's no more fear of it. Mm-hmm. But up until then, you know, every possible fear comes up around it.
Yeah, it feels like that.
Yeah, I know, but you're really your field is so much bigger tonight ever than I've ever felt, actually. Jennifer. So I know it's hard. hard to ride it sometimes. But your heart's opening more too. It's beautiful. You know, and the other thing is you've got this, like, you know, pressure, kind of, you know, demand of the phenomenally intense exam coming up, and that's a lot. Yeah. But you'll do fine.
I hope so.
You will.
I don't think I'm ever going to do it.
You'll do it. You're smart. You're really smart.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Harry, come on up. You guys hear over there? Can you hear? Okay. All those people are hearing, so I don't...
Oh, hello.
Hey. Welcome back.
Yes, I've been out 2 months.
Wow.
And December 8th fell and broke the radius bone in my wrist, so there's been surgery and healing, and... According to the therapist, I'm about 2 weeks ahead of schedule in healing.
Bravo.
What you were talking about earlier was right there, because for the last humbling 2 months of being crippled up with this and not being able to function normally, the attention has been just to... I think part of, because of your teaching and the language we can use, is the energeticness of it. And I kind of just sensed my energetic body, which I held as perfect.
Beautiful.
Like unable to be damaged. Mm. And then the bones and the tissue and all more like clay that had to just fill back in there. And, you know, quite a bit. I mean, I just had the cast off 2 weeks ago, January 29th. So to make that kind of progress was really wonderful with the therapist. Mm. I was glad to have that validation that it was healing quickly. Mm. I think the humbling part of it was powerful, to just realize that I really had no control over this healing in my mind, but I felt I could do it in my being. Just the energy coming out.
Exactly.
So if I was still, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, I'd have run to the church and lit some candles. But I'm more not interested in the pollution of candles anymore, air pollution. So I'm glad that I'm able to come here, and because this is the closest place I have to a sacred spot, a church kind of. Attitude of gratitude for, I think it's just kind of tuning in more and more and more what that power is that I am.
Beautiful.
And seeing it manifest, you know, Just the gratitude is what I wanted to express. And
it's nice.
To the universe, sort of through you or through the whole dynamic of this energy work. So thank you, universe, but also thank you, John Burney, for giving me a better language than I had before I started attending your sessions. And I think all of that has given me, I mean, it's always a miracle, and it's particularly a miracle for me now. I mean, next month, 73, long-term survivor of AIDS, way beyond most of them.
Wow.
There was a lot of why me for a while that I survived. And I think now it's getting more clear. It's to be the best me I can be, just as a model for others around me, but also to remind me of the power that we are, that we can share with others. You were talking earlier kind of about getting rid of the thoughts and all, and it seems like I've kind of reached some other point where it's like, that's what I really want to do now, is be more human. I feel I've always been trying to reach, you know, higher into the spiritual and metaphysical realms, so that I kind of didn't pay attention to the human. And now it seems it's coming around another way to where it's like, no, really recognize how incredible this is to be a human, to be able to participate in that duality and that energy and use it and manipulate it and feel it doing things like that. I mean, with a plate in there and all, to be able to bend it and grab and stuff, is it's a miracle.
Exactly.
Best word.
It is.
Yeah. So, gratitude. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks everything that works to make it happen.
Thank you so much. Bobby, come on.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
Whew. Well, I don't know. I realized I really don't know what I'm doing at all. I mean, you know, what's working is working, and what doesn't, and it seems like, you know, my whole life I've been trying to fix it, you know, what doesn't work. And I've done really good at fixing it, you know. And yet I realized, you know, like this weekend I was home kind of housebound because I'd got these kind of freaky migraines from the tree pollen allergies. I had them like last year. And it just kind of knocked me out, and I needed to just stay in the house and be quiet and sensory overload kind of stuff. And and so I was, you know, there with myself and coming up against all kinds of edges, you know, and just, it was really challenging just to be there and be gentle with myself. Kind of, I don't know, core beliefs. I think some of that was, you know, from childhood, you know, like when you get sick, it's because of error in thinking, right? You know, you're thinking the wrong thoughts. And, you know, that's kind of how I got brought up. And and that just kind of spirals, you know, if I'm not feeling well physically, it kind of spirals everything out. And, you know, I've realized that, yeah, I mean, that was just kind of like my wake up this weekend, is that I can't fix it, you know, and it's okay, you know, I just want to hold it and be gentle with it. I'm starting to see how all my self judgments are the same judgments I have about everybody else, and I don't, you know, I know cognitively what to do. You know, I know to love and be gentle and forgive.
Good.
Yeah.
I was going to mention forgiveness.
Yeah.
Good.
And if I could just forgive, you know. Ho'oponopono.
You said that really quickly.
What?
Like you wanted to get it over with, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let that one in. I'm not sure that one's going in. Oh, yeah. You know, forgive yourself for not being able to fix it. Like, maybe it was never your responsibility in the first place. There it is. See? You do need to work on that one. I had to do a lot of work on that one. It really is great when you get into it. It's very healing.
Yeah, I need a little bit more direction on that.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's really what this was about right now. So easy to get, you know, into the whole story, but you really want to find your sort of edge, your cutting edge.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
So let's just sit here for a minute.
Okay.
It's what another way I've been speaking about it lately is communing or communicating with your unconscious mind or your true nature, which is really the same thing. It's really when you're communicating into the mystery of what you are, however you want to frame that, if you want to frame it. But basically, it's a mystery, and there's a lot of names for it or no names for it. But when you communicate into that, that intelligence, that presence, then that's the realm where forgiveness works deeply, profoundly. Okay? So you're speaking into that, not just running a bunch of words in your head. Okay. Oh, that's sort of a hint on how to find that deep. And you'll also when you're aligned in that, usually there'll be a tremendous amount of emotional healing and release that happens. Because when we truly feel forgiven, it's amazing. It's like a giant burden of responsibility is taken off of us, which we didn't deserve, actually. And wasn't ours to be holding. You've held a lot. You know? Yeah. And we get messages from world that, or from experience that makes us believe that we're responsible for certain things. We blame ourselves for certain things, which really, it's a picture, much bigger picture operating than that. Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And work with your breath also. Because there's a tightening in you. There's a tightening around it. There's like this having to
keep it.
You know, burden. It's kind of, you're having to endure.
Yeah.
There's an endurance thing in your nervous system that needs relief. You know. So we're going to work on that together.
Okay.
Focus on that. Helping that happen. Allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a fear of what will happen, you know. Which,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, each one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Just what's in front of you right now, that's all. There's tissues if you need them, if you want.
Oh,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They don't come out of that box very easily. I don't know why they don't design those better. You ever notice when the Kleenex gets to the end of the box, it's just like, you know, I don't know. There should be a little spring in there that brings them up. They haven't invented that yet. So simple. Yeah. You have to go in there and dig. Turn it upside down.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Remember, was it Leo Buscaglia? Was that his name?
Yes.
Right. He was, yeah, why am I mentioning him? There was something that he taught. He was an inspirational speaker, right? He talked about how we were a shame-based society or something like that. Wasn't he talking about that? Yeah, wow. It's amazing how much of that needs to be healed. Please, come on up. Hi.
Hi, Johnny. Good to see you again.
You too. Thanks.
So, I've been feeling pretty emotional tonight for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes up and down for me. And
it's bring the mic a little bit closer.
Yeah. Thanks. I was just saying it kind of goes up and down for me, the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also feeling kind of angry. I don't usually feel that angry per se, but just for some reason, mm-hmm. I think kind of today I was feeling more angry for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe come from some pain inside.
I think it was astrological, even though I don't believe in astrology. Right. It was a weird day. Let me tell you, I was almost going to talk about that. I mean, I know so many people had so many weird things happen to them. It was like, I think maybe I should believe in astrology. Anyway, I'm yeah. joking a little bit, but
I don't know.
It's one yeah. of those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Really. So, yeah, I don't really know what to say very much about it. Maybe I think I also have trouble like kind of forgiving myself my struggles.
You know, I'm glad you said it just the way you did, because I don't think we can forgive ourselves. I think we have to ask deeply within ourselves for forgiveness. It's very different. Very, very. So did you feel how the room just opened up?
Yeah,
you know
definitely.
What that means? That's true. So that's actually, you have to find out how to ask within yourself or within your deep nature. It's not something that we actually can do for ourselves, interestingly enough.
Hmm.
That's where we don't get it, you see? That's where it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But when we deeply ask, it does happen. That's what I was trying to say to Bobby, that when you, all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, it will feel literally like the burden is lifted. So you could explore that in yourself. Find out how to ask.
I feel like I could use a little guidance there.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, you know, it's as simple as just stopping for a little while and getting in touch with being, just simple being, okay? And then speaking, literally, into that. And ask, please forgive me for whatever, for being angry or whatever it is that you're wanting. You know, it's like the Ho'oponopono practice. You've heard me talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know much about
that. It's a Hawaiian spiritual practice. And one of the practices is these four statements. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. Just those four statements. But when you're the deep truth of that is that you're actually speaking to your deep nature, to your true nature, to your unconscious mind, your Buddha nature, whatever word you want to call that, your divine nature, your presence. But it's just pure awareness. You're speaking into that. I'm sorry that I've disconnected. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And when it's authentic, and when you get it, not just as words, something will happen profound. So you could play with that.
Okay.
And it might seem very artificial or like, you know, not really authentic or, you know. But then you might discover the real essence of it.
Sure.
Try that out.
Yeah, I'm very willing.
I know
yeah.
people have had phenomenal benefit from exploring that practice.
Okay, it's simpler than it, yeah. I imagined.
Yeah,
I guess.
No, it's, you know, let me put it this way. The wisdom that we are already knows us perfectly, actually. We don't have to give it a lot of story. You can do shorthand. You can. You can make it very simple. And you'll know because you'll feel it. You're a feeling person. You'll know. That's it. The feedback process becomes very accurate after a while. And that's how we find our way.
Okay. Thank you.
Give it a try and we can check in on it later and see how it's going.
For sure.
Okay.
You wanna... Thank you. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate
sure.
that.
You're welcome.
Thanks so
okay.
much.
Okay. Thanks. And I think we're out of time for questions tonight. But we have time just to sit for a while. So So as I was just saying, that there's different levels of communication. And you can communicate on a very sort of intellectual, sort of relative level. And that's one kind of communication. But you can also communicate on a very, very deep level, kind of more like what Harry was talking about. And you can explore inner communication within yourself and find out how it will lead you to great discoveries, actually. It will lead you to finding real harmony in yourself and real peace in yourself. I guess what's ironic is how something so profound is also so simple and so easily missed, so easily misunderstood. And that's really what I was trying to say earlier, is that we try to understand it. We try to fix it, whatever. Try to heal it. And eventually we learn to allow healing to happen, allow wisdom to reveal itself to us. We begin to learn how to learn. Not the way we were taught, which is like getting knowledge and information and kind of retaining it and then regurgitating it. But really, learning how to learn is something that you can't learn how to do. It's actually, you have to learn it every moment. And the way you learn it every moment is absolutely new. So if you continually try to learn the way you did before, you're going to get stuck. So this is why having an attitude, an open, questioning, flexible, curious attitude is essential. I think working on, you know, looking or listening to and becoming more sensitive to the attitudes that you might have that you don't even know you have, that actually can be a real eye-opener. Like, whoa, I didn't realize I had that perspective. And when you start to awaken to your own limited beliefs, your own limited attitudes, it can be very liberating, actually. All of a sudden, you can have a whole new perspective. You can see somebody in a whole new way. And then love is possible in an amazing way in our relationships, because our projections are not in the way. So when you become more and more aligned in presence, projections just don't have the weight that they had anymore. They may still come through, you know, the judgments, the reactions, all that stuff, but they don't stick. They don't coalesce into a belief about somebody or something. I'm not saying you shouldn't have reactions, and like I wrote today about my grandmother. Did you read that? That's such, I love that story. It's in the newsletter if you didn't read it. I'm going to post it tomorrow on Facebook if I remember. Hopefully I'll remember. But yeah, she, if you didn't read it, she complained her whole life, you know, and it's okay, I didn't care. Yeah, I loved her anyway. But about 6 months before she died, she awakened. Just happened, right? And it wasn't like she knew anything about awakening or anything like that. And she was just in the light, and she was radiant. It was amazing. So I thought, you know, complain as much as you need to. And she didn't even know anything about this. It happens anyway. It was so beautiful. It was so great to be with her. It was so funny when my mother said, my mother said, she never looked happier. She died happy. Isn't that amazing? It was, if you knew her. Like I said in what I wrote, I said, this is a miracle. Okay, happy trails. I'll see you next time.